It's quite a flowing tune. It's not an awkward tune. Mighty God, while angels bless thee, may immortals sing thy praise. I'm sure most of you will be familiar with the tune. But hymn number 44. Let's stand to sing. That was good singing. Let's seek the Lord together and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we come to the mighty God. We thank you, Lord, that we come to the one who is the Almighty. Our Lord, as we have just stated, your decrees are unchanged. Father, we thank you, Lord, when you set your desire to do something, nothing can prevent it. And nothing can change the plan and the decrees of God. We thank you, Lord, in the shifting sands of time, in this world where everything seems so malleable, yet, Lord, we come to the one who is our rock, the one that we can depend upon. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for God the Son. We thank you, Lord, for the only Redeemer of God's elect. We bless thee, Lord, that we can come this morning in Jesus' name to worship thee. In fact, Lord, we acknowledge that if we come not in Jesus' name, then our worship is void. And Lord, we thank you for the way that he has opened up into the very holiest of all through his precious blood. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the old rugged cross. And we can surely say that the old rugged cross made the difference in our life. Lord, we pray for those that have never visited Calvary, spiritually speaking. They're yet in their sin. They haven't come and cast themselves on your mercy because of the cross work of Christ. Lord, I pray that this morning you will speak powerfully to their hearts. Lord, we need so much more than what a preacher can do. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will come and open those eyes. Show them their lost estate. Show them the wretchedness of sin. Show them, Lord, the loveliness of Jesus Christ. Show them, Lord, the fear of the judgment of God, that great white throne that lies ahead. And Lord, bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through your Holy Spirit. Lord, remember our land for good, we pray. Pray that you'll pour out revival upon Ulster. Lord, we have to say that, Lord, in a land when the enemy is in a place of dominance, it behoves God's people to take stock. It behoves God's people to humble themselves and pray and forsake their wicked ways. And Lord, to seek thee, seek thy face for healing, for the healing of our land. And Lord, we truly have to say that the enemy has come in like a flood. We feel, even in Europe and in the Western world, almost like an outpost. And yet here the enemy has come in like a flood also. And we pray that you'll show mercy to Ulster. Lord, may your people do what is right. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. The desire to judge between good and evil and to follow the way of righteousness and do what is right in thine eyes must be done amongst God's people first before there will ever be revival. May that happen, Lord. Help us to get our own house in order, as it were. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit upon the unsaved of this land and draw them to Christ. Oh, Lord, turn the tide. Change the direction of Ulster. Lord, we pray for a united kingdom also, that you'll do the same. We think of our king at this time, and Lord, you know the heart. Lord, he has said some wonderful words at the time of his ascension to the throne, but you alone know, Lord, whether it's all just lip service. Father, we thank you that we can come to the God who doesn't just look at the outward appearance, but looks at the heart. And Lord, we pray that if he was saying those words just out of mere duty, Lord, we pray that you will work in his heart and draw him to Christ. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will just touch his body at this time, that you'll heal him of his disease, but give much grace to our royal family. Unite them around the Saviour, we pray. Remember our land for good. Oh, Lord, we pray for the sick in the congregation, that you will draw close. We're mindful also of the Carrigan family at this time of loss, and we pray that you'll comfort them, that the God of all mercies, the God of all comfort and the Father of all mercies will come and draw close and lift them up, their brother Tommy and his family circle. Lord, for those that are unwell, minister grace to them. And for those that take care of them, I pray that you'll strengthen. Lord, we were mindful of the chief need of this place, for a man to occupy this pulpit on a consistent basis. And Lord, I pray that very soon there will be that calm consistency of knowing a man here, a man sent by God, a man with a heart, a burning desire for the people of this area, not just of Ulster in general, but of the people of this area. And we pray that you will build your church. Lord, that you'll reinvigorate the children's work and add young people. And Lord, stir up our young people here and bless them. We thank you, Lord, for young people in the Free Church. We realize that they will see things and they've had to stand against things that we have not had to stand in our generation and before. Things that we never thought we would see in Ulster. I pray you'll bless our young people. Make them strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So help us now. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit as we read the word and then as we come to meditate upon it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Mark chapter 16, please. No, sorry. Let's turn to hymn 269. And we'll stand to sing this hymn 269. 269. I've wandered far away from God and I am coming home. And let's do verses 1 to 3 and 6. 1 to 3 and 6. Now you're singing well, so let's keep it up. Let's really do this. It's a lovely hymn. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we'll take the first 8 verses of the chapter. Mark chapter 16. Wonderful chapter of encouragement, the resurrection chapter, of course, in Mark's gospel. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought spices, sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And they, entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they led him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his divine and infallible word. We're going to lift our offerings now with the singing of the hymn 514. Now, today, as has been announced, there will be a retiring offering. I believe that the loose money and the plates also will be going to the Uganda appeal. I know it's been announced over the last number of weeks with the increase, and we're very thankful for the increase of missionaries going to Uganda, but there needs to be infrastructure there to support them, and the mission board have embarked upon a program of building missionary accommodation and purchasing extra vehicles to supply that need. So that's what this offering is for, the loose money in the regular offerings, and also any money in the retiring offerings will be going to that appeal today. So just to make you aware of that. Let's remain seated for verses 1 and 2 of 514, and then we'll sing, we'll stand for the third verse, make it the final verse. Stand, we'll just sing 3 and 4. Let's stand for 3 and 4. Let's take our seats then and turn to Mark chapter 16. And let's focus in on verse 7 of that chapter, really, as our text. The words of the angel to the women: "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." Let's pray together. Father, we need thee every hour, but we need thee especially this hour as we open the word. And we acknowledge that this is the word of God, every jot and every tittle. We also acknowledge that we need the Spirit of God, because it's the sword of the Spirit. It's the word which the Spirit uses. And we pray for the Holy Spirit today, that you will fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Help me to preach in clarity and simplicity. Thank you that the gospel is simple. It takes a preacher to complicate it. Lord, help me to preach in power and simplicity and clarity this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to meditate this morning on two words, just two words from verse 7. And it's those words, "and Peter." This is an amazing message that the angel brings to the woman. Obviously, it's an amazing message. The message of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ is not here, for he is risen. And in the excitement of all that great message, it would be very easy to overlook those two little words, to be taken up with the good news, the great events that have taken place, the empty tomb, the angel messengers. And you could very easily miss those two little words, "and Peter." But yet those two little words are important, though they're few. They're words that meant the world to Peter. They told Peter that he had a future. They told Peter that his life was not going to be characterized by failure, but his Christian life would go on to be very successful, and so it did. Two short words, three syllables in total. And there's so much that is said in those two little words. They're words that changed Peter's life, and I don't exaggerate at all when I say that. I don't want to speak to the unsaved this morning, primarily. I want to speak to backsliders. That's why I chose that hymn, "Rescue the Perishing," because the verse 3 in that hymn is specifically for the backslider. It's not for the unsaved. Verse 3 says, "Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore." That's true of the backslider. It's not true of the unconverted. The unconverted have no feelings of love towards the Lord Jesus Christ that grace will restore. They're at enmity with God. They're at enmity with the gospel. But the backslider, on the contrary, is different. There were feelings there in years gone by. Feelings of love towards the Lord. And grace can restore them. And that's my prayer this morning, that there's maybe someone in this meeting and you're a backslider, and grace will restore you to full fellowship with the Lord, and you'll receive again the joy of your salvation. So I want to speak to backsliders, those who were genuinely converted. Those who, there was a point in their life when they truly gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They repented of their sin. Those who had can look back upon a time when they had a real earnest desire to live for God. They wanted to be free from the old habits of sin. They recognized the utter futility of sin. They recognized the truth that sin is sweet in the beginning. The pleasures of sin are for a season, because at the end, they always end in the tail of the scorpion with a sting. They always bring sorrow and hurt and loss. And you recognize that. You genuinely recognize that, and you turned to Jesus Christ. You felt the gospel message in your heart, in your very core. You knew that God loved you, that God loved sinners. You knew the reality of the cross, that Christ receiveth sinful men. You knew this power in the blood, and you came and asked, called upon Christ to be washed in that precious blood. You had a genuine fear of the judgment seat. You knew there was a day coming when you would be held accountable. That you would stand before that great white throne and give an account. You knew that someday there was going to be a division of the sheep from the goats. And you recognized that you were not a sheep. You were not of God. And you chose Christ. You stepped out on the promise and you got under the blood. It's you that I'm speaking to. I'm not talking to some fraud. Someone who maybe made an empty profession and didn't really mean it. They just did it because the person beside them did it in a meeting. Or they did it in the emotion without actually even thinking about those things. I'm talking about the genuine article now, the genuine Christian. In my house I have a little piece of fool's gold, as it's called. It's golden colour. It even glitters a bit if you put it in a bright enough light. But it's not gold. It's fool's gold. There are some people like that. They look like believers. They talk like believers. They dress like believers. They carry a Bible like believers. They know how to say the right things. They know how to do the right things. But they've never been to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those sorts of people are fool's gold. Because only a fool pretends to be saved. Oh, you can fool the people around you. That's not hard to do. You can fool the minister. That's not hard to do. But God isn't fooled. And let me just say, if there's such in this meeting, you need to wake up. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, because you're fooling nobody in the long run. The only person you're fooling is yourself. But I'm not talking about people like that. I'm not talking today to people. I'm talking to those who are genuinely saved. And perhaps you walked for many days, many years with God. There was a zeal for service in your life. You attended meetings. You read your Bible. You prayed earnestly. And then something happened. Something happened. I don't know what it was in your life. It could have been many things. Maybe it was some devastating news. A loss that shook your faith. You might not admit it, but it did. How could God let that happen to me? I thought he loved me. I thought he saved me. I thought I was his child. How? Why could that? Why has that happened? It changed things. Maybe you had a change of life in what you thought was a good sense. A change of circumstances. Maybe you had an increase in responsibilities. Maybe there's a new job came along, or perhaps a promotion at your existing job. And with that came extra workload. And, well, you got up earlier at the beginning and you decided that you would start out well. You needed the Lord to help you through this, and you got up early for your quiet time. And then the late nights came and it all became too much, and the Bible was set to the side. Before long, the interest in the things of God started to dwindle. You see, that's how backsliding always starts. It always starts with a setting aside of the Word of God. Invariably, it begins that way. And often there's an outward shell of religion that remains for many days, many months, many years. There's attendance at meetings, there's participation in the work of God. But it's an outward shell. And I know that because that was my testimony. I was saved as a young child. And as a young man, I got involved in the work of God. Genuinely saved. But I was backslidden. There was no daily walk with God. There was no quiet time. Yeah. Christian service filled my time. But yet, there was no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may think that's an odd thing, but it was true. Christian service filled my time, but I had no time for Christ. I was, in a sense, breaking the second commandment. I was worshipping something that looked like God but wasn't the work of God. And you know, through those teenage years, I was so filled with doubts. Satan would say, when I was sitting playing the piano, "What are you doing that for? Sure, you're not even saved, you old hypocrite." The Bible was set aside. I was only getting 3 meals per week, not 3 square meals per day. I was getting spiritually fed at the morning service, at the evening service, at the prayer meeting. But you know, you can't do with 3 meals per week. Every other day I was malnourished spiritually. And I was struggling through the Christian life because I was attempting to live the Christian life in my own strength. And that's backsliding. Folks, backsliding comes from 2 things. A failure to listen to the Word of God and trusting in your own strength. And Peter was guilty of those 2 things. You want to see that? Turn back 2 chapters to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 27. Peter was guilty of those 2 things. A failure to listen to the Word of God and a confidence in self. Mark chapter 14 verse 27. Jesus saith unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." Speaking in the upper room. "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Spoken with great bravado, no doubt. "And Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." You see, Peter was hearing the word of God, but he wasn't listening to the word of God. And there's a difference. Peter had the word of God, and in the truest sense, he had the New Testament word of God in the very words of Christ that he was listening to. "I will smite the shepherd," but he didn't take them seriously. How do I know that? Because he didn't expect the death of Christ. The death of Christ just bowled him over. Even though, and I have to say this, even though in Mark's gospel, of all the gospels, we have recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that he was going to die. If you want to see that, go down to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. And you will see that. It says, Mark 8 verse 31, And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Turn one page to the right. Into Mark chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, As they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things he had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And the implication there is, he's going to die. Same chapter, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Turn over a page to the right. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. I tell you, more than any other gospel, the Gospel of Mark lays out how many times Jesus Christ told them that he was going to die, time after time after time. Yet Peter didn't take it seriously. didn't take the word of God seriously. That's where backsliding begins. I was over in Singapore in 2018, and I met a wonderful Christian lady, a genuine saint, kind, with Christian kindness, a heart for the lost, incredibly successful in business, incredibly successful, owned an import-export business. And her testimony, I remember her saying, listening to her testimony, she said, I got saved, but I didn't take the Lord seriously. Jesus was her Savior, but not always her Lord. And the tragedy of her story was that she backslid. She ended up becoming addicted to gambling. She ended up as a mistress, a kept woman. She ended up with a child to a man who later abandoned her. And only by God's grace, she was brought back into fellowship with the Lord. But praise God, by God's grace, she was brought back. And that's the point. You say, how could that be? How could a Christian not take seriously the word of God? I mean, if somebody asked you, you know, is the Bible God's word? Well, you would say, of course it is. Of course it is. And yet how many believers go a day without reading it? Or 2 days? Or 3? When you do that, you're making a very, very clear statement. You're saying, this may be the word of God, but you know, I don't need to listen to it. When you hear a statement like that, you say, are we really serious? Peter had been trusting in his own strength. He had been not listening to the word of God, and he had been trusting in his own strength. He spake more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. He believed that. There's no doubt about it. He felt strong enough to go through. He even lifted the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, cut off the ear of a servant, because he was doing it in the Lord's strength, and Jesus had to say to him, put it away, Peter. Put that away. He was going in his own strength. If you want the recipe for backsliding, there's simple, 2 simple ingredients. Neglect the word of God and trust your own strength. It's not difficult to bake the cake of backsliding. Now, nobody knew. Nobody knew that Peter was backslidden at that point. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, nobody suspected that Peter was backslidden. It was only in the palace of the high priest, when Peter sat down with the enemy and started to warm his hands at the fire of the world. It was only then that it became obvious, when he was challenged by the maid. And he did something that he never thought was possible. He swore, he used cursed language to try and convince the enemies that he was not with Christ. And it's only then that we see where his heart truly is. You see, backsliding is subtle. It's often not seen. Often not seen even by the backslider. It carries on in the background until the point where it bursts out into the foreground. And then there's bitter sadness. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me twice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Uncontrollable tears. Deep wailing. A feeling of utter stupidity. Utter failure. Utter betrayal. Peter didn't know he had it in him, but he did have it in him. And we all have it in us. Let's not think that Peter's something unique. Peter's here for a purpose. And maybe there's a cock crowing today in 6 Mile Cross. Maybe there's a wake-up call today for someone in this meeting to do something about this before your backsliding starts to show openly. Do you know, folks, there was a godly believer once who backslid. He was a very, very successful man. And he went into a place where it is hard to be godly. That's in the army. God blessed him in the army. God blessed his military career. He rose to national fame. And he managed it. And still had a great testimony. Boy, that's hard. To be a Christian in the army, to maintain your testimony and to be successful. But then events changed in his life. And he fell out of favor with his boss. And his life became something like you would see in a movie plot. He became the target of the state. His life was at risk. And he had to make a run for it. But this crisis and this falling from favor, brought about backsliding in his life. And this normally impeccably honest man, and he was an honest man, this normally honest man resorted to telling lies and deceit. And in unbelief he went, and he sought refuge in a neighboring country, which was the homeland of the enemy. Do you know who I'm talking about yet? I'm talking about King David. Him taking refuge in the land of the Philistines. And you know the sad part? Whenever he went and took refuge in the land of the Philistines, he aligned himself to fight with the Philistines. Imagine. The man who slew Goliath and put Goliath down, aligning his battalion with the forces of the Philistines. The very people who hated Israel. Tell you, backsliding will make you do things you never thought possible. Is there someone here in this meeting? And all this sounds too familiar. The setting down of God's word. The trusting in self. The failure. You know you're not where you ought to be. You want to be back. Because the true backslider wants to be back. If you have no desire at all in your heart to be back at the heart, the first love, then you're not a backslider. You've never front slid. You want to be back, but you're reluctant because you don't want to fail again. You don't want to go round in circles. You don't see how it will be any different this time. See, if that's you, look at those two wee words in verse 7. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. Don't forget Peter. Don't forget Peter. You see, folks, the resurrection is exactly what Peter needed. The resurrection is exactly what every backslider needs to hear. That Jesus Christ defied the one thing that none of us can defy, and that's death. There's many a man who's defied bad circumstances in his life, and he's bounced back. There's many have defied sickness and risen back to health. There's many have defied injury and recovered and succeeded, but no one has ever defied death. None of us have the strength to defy death in our own. But Jesus rose. And he took the sting out of death and he tore it out. And he overturned the power of nature and he defeated the power of sin. And he broke the hold of the greatest enemy. The Bible describes it as the last enemy, death. And he rose supernaturally. He rose miraculously. He rose inexplicably. He rose from the dead. And now he is king of all. And that's what Peter needed to hear. Why did Peter need to hear it? Because, Christian, that supernatural life is yours by faith. You say, I cannot live the Christian life, I've failed. I say that you were never meant to live the Christian life. Christ is meant to live the Christian life in you. You understand? What you're required to do is get out of his way and let him do it. Christ is meant to live the Christian life in you. The problem is you've been trying to do it on your own. You never can do it on your own. An old man in Cookstown, he's in the glory now, godly old man. He used to say in the prayer meeting, Lord, we can never live this Christian life on our own. And you know he was right. You watch a baptismal service as a believer. You understand the meaning of baptism. I'm not talking about the Sunday school meaning, you know, you go down into the water and your sins are washed away. I'm talking about the proper meaning. You go down into the water, a picture of death, that you have died in Christ. You go completely under the surface of the water, a picture that your sins are buried with Christ. And you rise up, what, to newness of life. That the life of Christ is within you. Christ is living in you, the hope of glory. Not you living for him, but him living in you. Turn with me, please, to one verse. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2. You probably know the verse. You probably don't need to turn to it. Because it's logged forever in your mind, in your memory. And what does Paul say? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. It doesn't happen, won't ever happen. It has to be Christ living in you. That's why it's so important to have this book open. So that Christ is permitted to live in every area of your life. One of my favorite preachers is a guy called Paris Reedhead. And he was at a seminar one day. And a student came up to him. He's a tremendously powerful preacher. Tremendously blessed ministry. A student came up to him and said, how do you get power in your Christian life? Paris Reedhead said to him, the problem with you, sir, is that you're driving your car. You want to come along, you want Christ to come along and, you know, sit on the passenger seat with you and give you power the odd time when you think you need it. He said, what you need to do is you need to get out of the driver's seat and climb into the boot and close it and let Christ get into the driving seat. And listen to me, backslider. Christ has the power to defeat every single enemy. The resurrection power is the believer's power. It's your power. You have been crucified with Christ. Your sins have been buried with Christ, if you're a true Christian. And you already have the resurrection life of Christ in your life. The very fact that God is speaking to you this morning is a proof of that. The risen Lord is united to you. Okay? But Christ doesn't sit in anybody's passenger seat. Make that understood. Jesus Christ only sits in the driver's seat. And if you want to live the Christian life and defeat backsliding, there's only one way to do it. And that's you get in the boot and you let the Lord Jesus Christ drive. Not in the passenger seat beside him, but in the boot. Stop trying to do things yourself. And live by faith in him. Open this book and let him speak to you. Trust the one who's tore out the sting of death. Trust the one who made the way where there was no way, tore the veil of the temple in two so that you could go into the presence of God. Get that Bible open and realize that you have no strength in your own. Repent from years of backsliding and unbelief. And pray that the Lord will take the wheel. Steer your life through his word. The angel said, tell the disciples, I'm alive. I'm risen. And Peter. Why? Because the Lord loves the backslider. Despite all that Peter had done and said, the Lord loves the backslider. And of all the things that Peter needed to know is what the risen power of Christ was in him. Maybe this morning the Lord is calling someone, and he's calling you to put your name into the slot where Peter's name is. Go and tell the disciples. And you. It's time to come back. It's time to repent of days, months, years of backsliding, to get the book open and say, Lord, these are not my hands, these are thy hands. These are not my feet, these are thy feet. This is not my mouth, this is thy mouth. It's time to let Jesus Christ into the driving seat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy to Peter. Despite all that he was and did. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that your mercy to us. Forgive us, Lord, for our backsliding. Because if truth be told, we're all there. None of us are where we ought to be. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to just bow that head and bow the knee. Submit to thee. Lord, that you'll take the steering wheel of our life. Help us to take all hands off the wheel and leave it to thee. Restore the backslider. Encourage the believer. Save the lost. Help us, Lord, as we now wait around your table, as we remember thee in the way that you've commanded us to do, show us much grace and mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.